Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Afternoon, all.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Crane?
All the usual, the crying, the tantrums, the bedwetting.
Yeah, that's fatherhood.
No, that's my therapy group. What a bunch of losers. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheers Cast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining us for, I'm not burying the lead here, one of my all-time favorite episodes, please welcome back Vicky DeCiper and Mike DeCiper. How are you two?
Great. How are you doing, Ryan?
Doing really well. You guys? Yeah.
Great to be back, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I've mentioned like on a few episodes from time to time, like we had to tape an episode of Cheers because usually it was like one of my parents wasn't around that Thursday night. They had something where we had a family commitment. So we would tape an episode. But besides the 200th episode, I think maybe there were like half a dozen episodes between season 8, 9, and 10 that we had on tape. And this was one of them. And for whatever reason, I don't know, but I think I watched this episode more than any other episode of the show, including during all the times I've done rewatches. I think this is probably the episode I've seen more than any other. So when it got to my notes, like when I was rewatching this, I was like, I could write the transcript for this episode almost by memory. Like, I'm going to try not to just recite the entire show in my notes.
It's got so many quotable lines in it.
It does. It does. And folks, we are talking about season 9, episode 24. And again, that is because I count the 200th episode as one episode. So if you're following along with streaming or something else, it might say that this is episode 25, but officially it's season 9, episode 24, Rat Girl, written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows. The original air date, Thursday, April 4th, 1991. The Cranes have scheduled an interview for Frederick with the city's most prestigious preschool, but Lilith is grief-stricken over the death of Whitey, her favorite lab rat. When Frasier finds the dead rat in Lilith's purse, he thinks she's lost her grip on sanity and disposes of the rat in the trash outside Cheers. Lilith responds by trying to dispose of Frasier in the same way. Meanwhile, Sam is rejected over and over by an attractive woman who, inexplicably, is interested in Paul. Sam's incredulity turns into shock when Paul tells him the girl is attracted to heavy-set men. Sam does not take this well, having never been rejected on the basis of his appearance before. As Frasier and Lilith's marriage teeters on the brink, they meet with the administrators of the preschool in which they hope to enroll their son. Lilith, however, cannot bottle her fury at Frasier's insensitivity, nor can he muzzle his indignation at what he perceives to be her psychotic break with reality. And how many 50-cent words am I going to shoehorn into the synopsis? Back at Cheers, Lilith apologizes for overreacting on account of her grief, and Frasier suggests the best way for them to confront the inevitability of death is to create new life and have another child. All right, guys, I've already stated how I feel about this episode. Mike, you're back. What did you think about this episode? Big picture.
Very funny. Like Vicky said, I think so many great one-liners and like quips, especially from Sam. I think he really nails several really funny lines. Liked it. I will say I was a little surprised based on Lilith's character, her emotional attachment to her one of her lab rats. I find it a little interesting for her. It's one of those, you know, suspend disbelief for the episode situations for me, because I would not expect her to do that. But otherwise, very funny episode, lots of one-liners. So I liked it a lot.
Well, okay, it's funny. We have not talked about this together. I think it's funny. That is such a you thing that you think that. That's the best part to me about Lilith. Like, she's so stern. She's so serious. And then you get these moments of Lilith where she's, like, so human and just so tender. I think this is a hilarious episode. I love the Frasier and Lilith screwball comedy duo. I mean, they're great. My one gripe, and it's kind of my gripe from here on out, is they forget how to write for Rebecca. just like, just kind of demean her down to the, you know, oh, we'll put a thing about diet culture. Oh, how bad Rebecca's life is.
Yeah, she was the butt of the joke of the whole episode.
Yeah.
Of that part.
And it's so funny. But I think Kirstie Alley was just, she had so much to work with. And it's after the Robin Colcord died off, they just, I don't know. It's like they just forgot who she was. She's still great. Right. And it's still like, this is still a hilarious episode. But that's just my one little gripe about poor Rebecca.
Yeah. I've made, you know, my thoughts about Rebecca in the later season, basically after Robin, after she slept with Sam finally. It took a while for them to pivot to what they wanted to do with her. And this is kind of her in a nutshell, sort of giving her something to do that's doesn't really weigh much on the plot, but also kind of just presents her as a bit of a buzzkill. It still sets her at odds with the rest of the bar, and she doesn't get a victory at the end or some kind of like, there's no comeuppance for the guys for teasing her. They're sort of vindicated, even though in context, she's totally right. Like her
totally
point, like,
right. Thing totally is, like, right.
We'll get into that. But Mike, as for Lilith and Whitey, I think that's kind of the idea, is it's the irony of her being so, and again, thinking about the way she was when we first meeting her, very cold, very emotionally detached. I mean, they even joke about when she cries, and put air quotes in cries, because it's just like, and Rachel's like, let it out, dear. She's like, I am. And that's all she does. Yeah. But the fact that she would get attached to something like a lab rat, where she couldn't attach to a human, I think, I don't know if we would even say there's something neurodivergent about Lilith. I don't know if she's that far, but maybe. But also, I mean, why is she attached to a rat? Because of sitcom.
because of sitcom, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and Mike is kind of bearing the lead. He does a lot of research, and a lot of them involve mice. And so I think he just thinks, how on earth could someone get attached?
You know, God bless the animals in medical research. They've done a lot for us.
See?
And I would never say you don't care about them, because we do. But
but you've never brought them
you,
a dead one.
Yeah, so it's hard to get attached to them, because we go through a lot of them. Let's just put it that way. Okay. It's a sitcom, and I'm suspending disbelief. Don't worry. Here we are.
Our teaser, this is actually where we get the start of Rebecca, which is, I guess, the C plot, but they kick it off in the teaser. She's cutting up vegetables on the bar, like carrots, celery sticks, other stuff, kind of what you would associate with a veggie platter. Sam comes in. He's like, what's with the vegetables? Carla setting up the first of many. I think every line Carla gave was dynamite. And like, despite how much this is a Frasier and Lilith episode, and Sam is great, part of me was like, I could give Carla the MVP for this one too. Like, I could make a case for it. But yeah, so Sam is like, what's with the vegetables? Carla's like, same as always. They're just sitting there watching TV. And we cut to like Norm, Cliff, and Paul. Rebecca explains she's on this health kick. She's deciding that she's going to eat right for the first time in 30 years. Carla throws in a joke about what was she doing the other 12, making fun of her age, which I don't know if that joke ate, like,
I laughed at it. I shouldn't. Yeah. I felt bad, but I did laugh. It was kind of funny. Yeah. It was just
cool. I've never, not since I was a kid or not as an adult, I have a very hard time grasping the ages of the characters and their actors. So saying that she's 42, I'm like, what's the big deal? And
well, that's young.
Maybe
now.
That's right. Maybe that's because now I am older than her.
To me, it feels young now.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's like, if, you know, the guys are just going to be sitting there stuffing their food, their faces, doing nothing, at least they can stuff them with something healthy. And she's like, Sam's like, they're not going to like this. She's like, they're not going to know the difference. So we see her swapping out the veggie platter for the beer nuts or the pretzels. Norm, great little, he reaches back, not even looking at it. My eyes are focused on the TV, and he grabs something, puts it in his mouth, and just spits it out. What the hell is this? And they all react like, look at what's in this bowl. It's all green and orange. What are these things? Cliff is like, oh, you know, I know what they are. When you go to a restaurant, you order a big steak, you know, they put that stuff on the side that you just push away. Oh, vegetables. That's what it is. Yeah. So, and Rebecca's like, can I give it a shot? You guys like do something. They're like, all right, fine. She kind of pressures them into it. So they each take a vegetable. and proceed to dip it in the beer and just use the vegetables as a mechanism to drink. And they're like, oh, this isn't bad. We can do this. And Norma's like, try the cauliflower. It acts like a ladle.
As he's yeah, ladle sipping. Is like sipping yeah, the beer.
Norm with the cauliflower ladle is great.
After our credits, we get our first guest actor in this one, or guest actress, Paula. Note that name. It'll be important later. Played by Beth Toussaint, or Toussaint. She's got 36 movie and TV credits, including Scream 3. She was on Babylon 5, Star Trek The Next Generation, MacGyver, Melrose Place, a lot of stuff around that time.
Yeah.
Early, mid-90s. She comes in, and Cliff is like, whoa, Sammy. And Sam's like, I see her. You're not even looking in the direction.
Yeah, he's like, look at that. He's not even looking.
I love that.
Like, how do you do that?
She also, she looked so much like Linda Hamilton from Terminator.
I see that, yeah.
And I was like, what? And but then I the MacGyver, and then like my family was a big Matlock family, and she was on that a few times. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. We know her. But yeah, when Sam said, I see her, and it's like...
As she's walking by, Sam kind of stops, gets her attention, presenting her with a bottle of champagne that he says he won for being the hottest single guy in Boston. But until she walked in the door, he's never found somebody that he wanted to share it with. And very abruptly, she's like, I don't drink champagne, puts her hand on the table and just walks away. And you see him like almost stumble forward, like, not like realizing like, what just happened. And he's like, what was that? And they're like, yeah, you got shot down. Say at first of a great line. He's like, you hear about that stuff. You never think it's going to happen to you.
Such a good line.
This is where they're like, you know, maybe Norma's like, maybe she's seeing somebody else. And that's why she didn't want you, Sam. And he's like, Sam's like, why would that stop her?
Yeah, what why that? Yeah.
So Cliff puts out the alternative theory. He's like, maybe she's one of these women who coaches basketball and does her own carpentry, if you know what I mean. I mean,
it's yeah. The early 90s. It's late, early, you know, 90s, late 80s, yeah. Early 90s.
Yeah. I mean, the stereotypes were there. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but could have been worse, but it's fine.
Could have been much worse. Could have been much worse.
Could have been worse.
Very true.
Right. And Sam was just like, let's go with that. That's easier. Yeah. It's easier to be rejected if she's gay than for right. You know, just rejected on the merits.
Then it's not his fault.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Frasier comes in. What is he? How are you doing? He's like, that's the usual crying, bedwetting, tantrums. He's like, oh, yeah, that's fatherhood, right? He's like, no, that's my therapy group.
Great line. Like, what a bunch of losers. Right. Right. That's one of my favorites from the episode.
I like it. Even, I mean, at this point, he's going to say that he's under stress because of the, because they're looking for the preschool. They're interviewing preschools for Frederick. But like, even right from the beginning, we're setting up this idea of the father, the parenthood angle of where Frasier and Lilith stand at the beginning of this one, because this is what the end of the show, like the climax, will kind of hinge on, is their parenthood and wanting to be parents again, wanting to sort of renew that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting that they set that up right from the beginning. They're stressed out because they're going to interview this preschool, this elite preschool. And Sam's like, you're paying for this, your money, your kid. Why aren't you interviewing the schools? And Frasier's like, look, you know, you don't understand these elite private schools. You know, the good thing about private education is they can weed out the undesirable lowlives or something. It's like, God, I pray I'm not one of them.
I love that line. That was a good one, too.
And so ironic, right? Like, that's actually the truth, right? What Sam said is, frankly, quite honest, right?
Right, right. And interesting, like, this is one area where Frasier is not super confident about himself.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, then, Cliff is like, what's wrong with public school? I went to public school.
This was a like, great line.
Don't ever change.
Yeah, don't ever change. I love you, Cliff. It's like, you're not disproving the theory.
I love that line.
Well, Rebecca, again, we get another thing with Rebecca talking about eating rice cakes. And he's like, they don't taste like anything. She's like, it doesn't matter. They'll help me live longer. But he's like, you know how you're always talking about how much you hate your life? Why would you want it to be longer?
So funny. But I don't, you two you guys were aware of the diet culture, but like I remember in my paper sack lunch taking, I would alternate a rice cake with a little peanut butter, a Slim Fast in a tin can, which is really depressing, or a Yoplait yogurt. I mean, it was sad. It was a sad time.
I also get like drink coasters, right? Like you sit your drink on those things.
The rice cake? Yeah. The rice cake. It was a sad time. I tried to convince myself they taste good for a long time.
You get to that age and you're like, I wish I had taken that more seriously.
That's also
and,
true, yeah.
You know, then I would look a little bit more like Sam and Woody than Norman Crest. A little bit, you know. I could be, or even if it's in between. But
I don't know, man. If that's the price, I don't know, man. Rice cakes are like total like styrofoam, right?
Yeah. They're good if you put enough stuff on them.
I mean, like live your life.
Anyway, then we get Lilith entering quietly. Hello, Frasier. And he turns around. He's like, you look so somber. Carla's like, how can you tell?
That's one of my favorite lines.
And he's like, well, I just took a guess. I took a shot.
Took a shot. And
Lilith's got bad news. Whitey died. And he's like, oh, he's very sympathetic. He's like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, he was so young, so vital. But when she went to the lab at 9 o'clock in the morning, she found him face down in his cedar shavings. And the guys at the bar are like, what? What are you talking about? And she explains that Whitey is her senior and her favorite lab rat. And the guys have no compassion anymore, no sympathy for this anymore. They don't, they're like, oh, what? And it's like, and then she kind of explains they don't typically get attached to their lab rats, but he was really special. She's like, we even named him Whitey. And Carla just popping up from behind her like a jack in the box. She's like, are you sure they weren't talking to you? And she's like, no, Whitey the rat. Okay, I'll ask again. Are you sure they weren't talking to you?
Exactly. Carla was on top of it this episode. She was pretty funny.
And I think that might be, I don't know if that's like an inside joke, like for the science people or whatever, but all lab rats are white. There, it's not like he was the white one. Pretty much 100%.
I thought about that, yeah.
100% like, of the lab rats are white, oh, right? Little, like if you use like Wistar. Yeah, this is the pro. This is the pro. The pro tip. Like you know, most lab rats are Wistar rats, and they're all white.
I hadn't
so,
thought about that. You're right.
I don't know how you like. I can't tell them apart, frankly. Right? Like they all look the same. And then maybe I'm sorry, rats, if you're listening at home, the lab rats you listen to this podcast, they all kind of look alike. It's hard to tell them apart.
Now I'm actually curious. I got a follow up. Is there a reason why you only use those kind of rats?
So there are certain species and varieties of mice and rats that are used in research. The reason we stick to certain varieties are they're very genetically pure lines, and we know very much about their genetics. And so you can eliminate a lot of genetic variability in your results, especially if you use all males or all females or things like that. So it's for a reason that you pick – certain lines for certain experiments, whether using rats or mice.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I guess using that as a sort of universal standard, a universal baseline
like a standard,
over
right.
years,
exactly.
generations across countries.
Right.
Then, yeah. Okay. All right. That actually makes tons
well,
of sense.
Well, thanks, Ryan. We've been together for like 15 plus years, and I've never asked that. So you're really putting me to shame right now.
That's what Cheers does.
That's what Cheers does.
But Carla, she kind of gets to that point. She's like, big deal as a rat. Go, you know, experiment with another, you know, torture another rat with your electrodes. And she's like, I never harmed Whitey at all. She's like, how does she say? She's like, if he needed it, I gave it to him. That rat was the envy of others. And Frasier just aside to Carla, he's like, it's true, but I did get over it.
I got over it.
This is when you're like, we could have had just a Frasier and Lilith, like, show, like, spinoff. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'd have gotten tired of it, but they're just so good together.
I mean, the writers knew once the Sam and Rebecca, will they, won't they romantic subplot right. was dead. They're like, okay, what are the other romantic plots that we can focus on? Frasier and Lilith and Woody and Kelly. We'll see a little bit more of in the next year or two. Sam tries to hit on the girl one more time. He says he didn't mean to get her drunk with the champagne. He was just, you know, trying to get to know her better. And she's like, you'd have to get me drunk for that. And walks away. It's like, oh, okay. Like at that point, I get she knows his game. She knows he's hitting on it, but even that was kind of harsh.
Put down. Cold. But I mean, Sam kind of deserves it. I love Sam. Yeah. He kind of deserves it.
And Sam is like, look, I don't know what she's interested in. I don't know what she wants, but if she can't find it here, she's not going to find it. And that's when Paul walks out of the back hallway from the pool room. And she's like, Paul, come here. And he walks up and she throws her arms around Paul or whatever. And everybody's like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, good night, fellas. And they walk out together. And Sam was like, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes. And when I open them, I'll wake up in my bed and this will all be in a bad dream.
So, poor Paul.
Later on, Rebecca, still eating healthy, still feeling great. She says she's got a celebration of life. And the guys tease her. They're like, what goes better with a celebration than ho-hos? And they all start bringing out their hostess snacks of various kinds. We get ho-hos. We get Twinkies. And Woody picks out
snowballs.
And this is one of those visuals that has stuck with me ever since I saw this, 35 years ago. But he's like, snowballs are better because they're bite-sized. And he shoves this thing the size of a baseball in his mouth. I just see the pink falling out of his mouth. He's like, see?
So funny.
Frasier and Lilith come back in. They're dressed up. She's still in mourning, but they're going to do something more life-affirming. They're going to go to dinner and then a show. But Rebecca tells Lilith she got a call from her lab or from her clinic. Again, just setting aside from the fact that the clinic would know, where can we reach Lilith if she's not at home?
Yeah, cheers.
This bar.
Yeah, healthy, it's fine.
Yeah.
Where else would you call your doctor?
Right. So she goes to deal with that, and they order two glasses of scotch, and Frasier has to pay for it, but he's like, I only have big bills. So he puts his wallet away, and he goes to get the money out of her purse, and he opens it, and just as quickly slams her purse shut. He's like, oh, dear God. I'm like, what? Lilith is carrying a dead rat in her purse.
I do like the, can't you tell them to take 2 Thorazine and call you in the morning line she's like going to the phone. That's like a nice doctor joke, you know. And Thorazine's strong drug. Like 2 Thorazine you might call like in 2 days.
There was something in like popular culture and the zeitgeist between this and in other stuff, I just knew, okay, Thorazine is what you give patients to sedate them if they're having some sort of psychotic break or something, or like any sort of mentally impaired, I would just say any kind of crazy patient, you give them
Thorazine. Bipolar and schizophrenia, right? If they're in like a manic episode or a hallucinogenic episode in schizophrenia, Thorazine is a dopamine. Here we're getting science, kids. It's a dopamine receptor antagonist, D2 receptor antagonist. So it calms down a lot of the mania and the hallucinogenic effect.
Mike gives me a side effects of every night, and it's fine.
She goes right to sleep, man. Yeah. It's great.
That's why I'm so calm right now.
I think right around the time this came out, there was a movie called The Dream Team with Michael Keaton, Christopher Lloyd, and somebody else. I can't think of. Anyway, but yeah, it was like 4 patients in a mental hospital who get a day pass to go to a Yankee game or something. And while they're out, their doctor gets assaulted or whatever and ends up going in a coma. And these 4 guys are kind of like left in the city to deal with their own kind of psychoses and everything like that. And how they like kind of come back together. And I just remember Thorazine being mentioned a ton in that one.
I think Peter Boyle,
that was the name I was thinking of.
Yeah, Everybody Loves Raymond, I think, is in that.
And so Frasier is freaking out. I think he mentions dead rat in the purse like 5 times in the span of like 30 seconds. This is really getting to him. And he's like, you know, why would she be carrying a dead rat in her purse? And here's my runner up for my home run. But Carla's response is like, just a guess. A snack?
So funny.
And Frasier kind of like walking around and is like, why would she be doing this? That poor woman, I clearly rushed her through the grieving process. She's not coping with this well. She needs help. Meanwhile, Norman Cliff kind of walk over to the purse and they're like, I dare you to touch it. And I'm like, I dare you. And they kind of eat each other. And they just kind of open up the purse a little bit with their finger. It's like, all right, I looked at it. It's like, I bet you won't kiss it. And Frasier's like, you people are sick. And Norman's like, oh yeah, we're the ones with a problem.
I will say John Ratzenberger and
George Wendt.
Thank you. My mind just left. They have become so comfortable in their roles by this point. It's like they're not even acting anymore. They're just doing it. It's so clear that they've just become at one with their characters. I think I read or heard them say in an interview, like by this point in Cheers, they weren't even really looking at their lines before the day of, and they just knew those characters so well, and it's they're just believable in the goofiness of their relationship.
Yeah. So Frasier, he must break this fixation of hers by disposing of the rat in a mature way. So he uses tongs or clamps or something from the bar to pick up her purse. And he kind of walking it out the door. He's like, ew. Of course, being so mature, to the trash cans out in the alley. At that point, Lilith comes out of the back office, done with her phone call. And she tells Rebecca that it was a false alarm. And she's like, so nothing was wrong? She's like, no, one of my patients pulled a false alarm. But he's a pyromaniac. So for him, this is progress.
That's a great line, too.
Frasier's like, we don't have time to stick around for our drinks. He said, we've got to make the show. Curtain is in 45 minutes. He's like, you know how I hate to be late. And she's, that's one of your more endearing compulsions or something. And as they're walking up the stairs, it's muffled. We don't hear the exact conversation, but he tells her that he found the corpse of Whitey and threw it in the trash. And she's just like, you did what? And then she runs back down to get it. And we just hear the commotion. And then Lilith walks up the stairs by herself. And Carla goes to the door, opens it, and we just see Frasier's legs sticking up out of one of the trash cans.
The visual gag is so good of him there. Like, and thinking that tiny little Lilith has dumped him there upside down is great.
Apparently, she's still grieving.
She's still grieving, yeah.
Yeah. After our commercial break, Rebecca says that she's been eating clean for 26 hours. And they're like, yeah, we've been hearing about it for 26 hours.
That's a good
one. And then Frasier comes out of the office. He slept there. He slept overnight. And there's a joke. He slept on the couch and he tells Sam, he's like, I would have thought that with all the bedroom acrobatics you do on that couch, it would have a little bit more give. He's like, but here's the thing. And again, you don't think about this when you're just watching the show for fun, but when you have to scrutinize it. What time is Frasier waking up?
Exactly, right? Like, everyone's already there at the bar.
Is in full swing. Everybody's there. They've been drinking for a while. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what these people do. But again, sitcom,
yep.
Gentlemen, just suspend.
It's sitcom.
Suspend reality.
Yeah. He's like, I can't believe it's come to this, bedding down in a bar and waking up in the same clothes that I went to bed. And Norm's got this whole little strategy. He's like, what you do, you take your jacket off and you hold it under the air conditioning vent, let it air out, and you can go for a couple of days. You wear the same outfit several days in a row, Norm? He's like, well, you find a look that works for you, you stick with it.
That's right.
Frasier mentions that he wants breakfast, and Rebecca tells him, spread some bean curd on these bran crackers. And he's like, I won't eat that crap. He's like, you're a doctor. You should believe in health and nutrition. He's like, it doesn't mean I have to listen to some tree-hugging, dirt-munching druid. Dirt-munching
druid. Great line.
He's like, sorry, I'm not exactly what you'd call a morning person.
A morning person.
And then door opens and Paul comes back in the bar with the woman, Paula. And she's laughing at his every word. They're arm in arm, being very affectionate. And Sam just really irritated, like bitter almost. He's like, why is she laughing?
Paul's not funny. Paul's not funny.
That's
a close one. I think it's like top three lines for me.
It's so petty. It's so childish. So it's
like, why is she laughing? Paul's not funny. So good.
Pete, one of the tertiary barflies, is like, well, does anybody know what Paul does for a living? Because women are attracted to money and power.
That's right.
Norma's like, I think he's a toll booth attendant. And Carla's like, well, that would explain the quarter tips. Woody tells Frasier that he got a message from Lilith, and Frasier's like, did she call to apologize? And Woody's like, yeah, sort of. And he reads it. Meet her at Frederick School for that interview. And Frasier's like, the interview, I forgot, damn it. And he starts like heading towards the door, and Woody keeps reading it. He's like, she said she knew you'd forget because you're such an uncaring human being. But for once in your life, think of your child, comb your few remaining hairs, and wash that canned ham you call a face, and get over there. And
he's like, come Frasier to like, think listen. Of it, I don't think this sounds much like an apology.
That's the best part.
Such a good line. That's such a great line.
Like, the more I read this, it sounds less and less like an apology.
Woody and Frasier are my favorite duo that actually don't belong together. I just when they're together so much. That's another just great example.
Yeah, Woody only had a few lines in this episode, but they were
every one of them
like spot on, perfectly. Right. Yeah, great.
Paul goes to order some drinks, and this is where we find out that his girlfriend is named Paula. Cliff and Norm jump on this because of a song from the 60s, right. Hey yeah. Paul by Paul and Paula. And Hey Paula, the song was recorded in 1962 by Paul and Paula, although Paul in the group was actually named Ray Hildebrand, and the Paula in the group was Jill Jackson.
Aw, way to ruin that for us.
But Paul and Paula sounds so much better.
It does, yeah, of course, especially when the song is all about Paul Paul. And I don't know if I knew the song when I saw this episode, but soon thereafter, I would have seen Animal House for the first time as a teenager. And there's a scene when they're smoking weed with Kiefer Sutherland's dad.
Who's
a,
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, as the professor in the bathroom. And Boone and Karen Allen's character, they're singing Hey Paula to each other. But yeah, just great little moment. They're like, hey, Paul. And he's like, huh? hey, what?
Yeah, what?
It's like, oh, the song, Hey, Hey, Paul.
Like, never mind.
Yeah, he's like, hey, shut up. And Norm's like, it's the song from the 60s, Hey, by Paul and Paula. Hey, Paula. And we hear Paula from her scene going, what?
Yeah, Norm's like, hey.
Never mind.
Oh, it's so funny.
And so Sam, he calls over Paul. He's like, look, I have to ask you this. It's driving me crazy, but I don't want to insult you because you're my friend and I like you. But why would any woman be caught dead with you when she could be with me?
You Paul's think like, that would offend me? You thought that would offend me?
Yeah. Like, I get to be with her.
And Sam's like, come on, did you slip her a Mickey or something? Like, what's going on? And Paul's like, well, you know, since you asked so nicely, Sam, he's like, Paul is what we refer to as a chubby chaser. And Sam's like, you mean she only goes out with guys who are, doesn't know exactly how to phrase it? And Paul's like, portly, Sam. The word is portly.
Portly. That's the best part.
Sam is like just taken aback by this. And he turns to Carla. He's like, do you get that? She only goes out with guys who are heavy. Carla's like, Sam, you'd be shocked. Women like the weirdest things or the oddest things. She's like, take me. He's like, oh, yeah, what do you like? He's like, nothing. Just take me. Sam, this part is a little bit more sleazy. It's for the joke, but it's terrible because Paul, like, kisses Paula's second, like, goes to the bathroom or something. And as soon as his back is turned, Sam goes right back to her. And he's like, look, he's like, I heard about it, but I think you're judging me unfairly by my looks. And I think if you got to know me, we could be really good friends. She's like, you want to be friends? She's like, why don't we start by you introducing me to some of your friends? Especially that large and lovely one right there. And we show Norm, and he is smushing two Entenmann's like chocolate-covered donuts together. Yeah. I was like, I recognize those instantly. I was like, I know, I've had those. And he's squishing them together like a sandwich and taking a bite. And then, like, next time you see him holding it like a sandwich and holding a beer in one hand. You like Norm? And she's like, yeah, he's a suitful, isn't he?
A suitful.
That was the best. A suitful. Oh, my goodness.
We get a cool little establishing shot, an exterior of Boston that I don't know if we've seen in the show before. I think this shot will probably be reused at some point, but it's not like a shot of the whole cityscape or like the harbor. It's like more localized, like one of the downtown areas, probably around Beacon Hill or something.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the more upscale neighborhoods. And Frasier rushes in. Lilith is alone in the preschool room. She says, yeah, he did miss the interview. But don't worry, she described him in terms that were glowing, which is the way she'd like to see him in hell. She's like, just for the sake of this interview, pretend that they love each other and then they can go back to loathing. And he's like, he can't believe she's letting the death of an animal threaten their marriage. She's like, I can't believe you refer to him as just an animal. And he's like, but he was an animal. And then just the perfect sort of vaudevillian timing. She's like, I hate you. He's like, I hate you. And then the door opens and the two preschool administrators walk in and they just grab each other hand in hand. They're like, hi, hello.
Yeah.
Are the two administrators, one Cheryl Lynn Bruce, she's been a couple of things. She was in the movie The Fugitive, episodes of Law and Order, Prison Break, Stranger Than Fiction. The other one, though, the guy who's just credited as Administrator 2, played by Andre Mirapolsky, probably pronouncing that wrong. This is his only acting credit.
That's what I thought.
Really?
Interesting.
I'm wondering, like, I usually, when that's the case, they were probably in some other department. He might have been in costume or set or had something else to do with the show or another NBC thing, and the showrunners just knew the guy, and they're like, do you want to do the scene? You have one line of dialogue or something to that effect. And I can only assume that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
And so, but he's the one, he says, you know, they think the prospects of Freddie getting in that school are, you know, really good. And they're like, oh, that's great to hear. Like, before you guys leave, do you want to see something fabulous? And they show them the class hamster. And it's like, Sylvia just had babies. And they're showing them off. And you just know where this is going right away. But Lilith is looking, she's like, oh, that one looks just like Whitey. I'm like, oh, who's Whitey? She's like, Whitey was my beloved lab rat that this bastard took and threw in the trash.
Yeah, this exchange is like some of the best of the show, I think.
It's really good.
He's like, don't mind my wife. She's over emotional and crazy as a loon. And she's like, you probably want to throw one of these hamster babies in the trash, too. Why don't you just go over and bite the head off one of these birds, Dr. Death? The venom, she says that. And he's like, I'm not the one who walks around with a decomposing corpse of a rat in her purse. She's like, you're a hateful man. And he's like, you're a disturbed woman. And they just, I hate you. I hate you. And he's like, you're a disturbed, troubled woman. And she walks out. He turns back to them.
She's but like, a very loving mother.
A loving mother.
But a very loving mother.
Yeah. And they're like,
I think they're getting into that preschool.
Yeah. They're like, we'll let you know. And he's just like trying to hold a smile as he walks out. He's like, ah, screwed up. And cut back. He's just sitting there at Cheers. I've done it. I blighted my child's chance for getting an education. I like that just because he's not going to the elite school, he's got no educational prospects at all. Like, this is it. And he's like, probably ruined my marriage as well. I think my life is over. And Sam, ever the mensch, he's just like, yeah, well, life's tough. I just got shot down by a chick who likes fat guys. And he's so mad about it. He's holding a dish rag and throws it down on the ground.
You just can't imagine. Why would a woman not want him?
We get our final little bit where the guys ask Rebecca if she has any more of the rice cakes. And she's like, yeah, why? She's like, you guys don't like them. They're like, no, we've been enjoying them all day long. We swear. She's like, really? She's like, yeah, I got some more. So she gives the bag of rice cakes to Carla. And she's like, all right. And they're like, Carla, pull. And she throws the rice cake, throw rice cake in the air like a discus. And Norm, Cliff, Woody, and Pete take out their little BB guns or whatever it is and shoot the rice cake to pieces like they're skeet shooting or
like clay pigeons.
Like yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Rice cake skeet shooting.
They're like, do it again. They're like, pull. And they throw it. And
so funny.
That's the last of that one. Lilith comes in, much like her first entrance, just very sort of quietly, meekly. And she apologizes that she hasn't been herself lately. And Frasier, I'm sorry I trivialized your grief, but you got to meet me halfway. Why were you carrying a moribund rodent in your evening bag?
Moribund.
And she's like, Frasier, I wasn't going to take him on our date, but I couldn't let the grad students dissect him either. I wanted to give him a proper burial. And had that been explained or conveyed to Frasier beforehand, we wouldn't have had a plot for the episode. So, but, you know, he's relieved. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't trust you and that I overreacted. She's like, no, I get it because I wasn't thinking straight either because I was confronted by, for the first time, she says, by the loss of a loved one. Where she's like, I know, that's what we call a crisis. And she's like, I know what we call it, Frasier. I love that. It's like, I get it because he's like thinking like a doctor kind of trying to diagnose her situation, right. But there's a hint of maybe proto mansplaining about it too.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm a doctor, Frasier. I know what this is. She's like, I don't need your help diagnosing me.
Yeah. Thanks.
So, but she's like, now she's more acutely aware of how precious life is. And he's like, life is tenuous, but we have so much to live for, healthy, and we've got the best thing in the world. We have a child. And she's like, well, he's not a baby anymore, Frasier. He's about to go to school in September. That's only if we can successfully, you know, navigate an interview with a preschool without slipping into a scene from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And then he's like, but I was thinking about something else, you know, Frederick getting older, but we could do something else to renew ourselves and you know, feel that life again. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, we could have another child. And Lilith takes to this idea almost like immediately. She's like, we could. That's a great idea. She's like, let's start right now. She's like, I'm filled with a glow. And she like heads out. And just the last thing I was saying, like Fraser just kind of like, you know, has to put the period on it. Everything he's, it's all so strange. He tells Sam, a seemingly insignificant creature lives and dies. A marriage is threatened. A child's education is almost destroyed. And yet, in somehow, some way, I'm getting some action out of it.
I'm getting some action out of it.
That's right.
I love it when, like, it's not the first thing you notice, but, like, throughout the show, you just realize how much and how often Frasier is preoccupied with sex.
So often.
He thinks about it so often. It's kind of
very Freudian for...
Yeah, there you go.
But it's,
for a psychiatrist.
Yeah, yes. For a psychiatrist. But it's so funny to me because they fight all the time, but they do love each other and they're hot for each other. Like they are. Like you see the scenes over and over and over again, and they're just so funny to me. I love Frasier and Lilith.
I mean, in terms of the grand, it's not the most important episode, especially because Frasier and Lilith don't have another child together, so this doesn't lead to something else in the plot. It's not necessarily the most memorable. It's not like a world-building episode in any terms of that. So a lot of my feeling is based on the nostalgia of seeing this so many times, but it's still an episode that I laugh at almost every line of dialogue, almost every bit. I still find funny even today. I still, watching it today for maybe the 20th time for all I know, I was still laughing at some of my favorite parts of this one.
The lines are great. Like Sam's lines, Woody, like every character, I think the writers nailed it. It's hilarious. Even the side bits, you know, about, you know, the healthy eating and stuff. It's just great. I think they really got each character right and very funny and in the context.
And I think this episode like lays the groundwork for what's to come, kind of getting Freddy more in the world.
Actually, because the very next episode, the next two episodes are sort of Freddy centric.
Exactly. Yeah.
I completely forgot about that, but you're right. Yeah, the next two are very Freddy centric. So setting up that he's not a baby anymore, that will pay off, not for Frasier and Lilith so much, but for Sam. Yeah. We'll see that in the next episode. But for Cliffy's, it's a little known fact. Bebe Neuwirth won the Emmy for supporting actress in a comedy for this episode. This was the first time she was nominated, and she beat out her co-star, Rhea Perlman.
Wow.
Rhea had won the award several times for the show. But at this point, Lilith won for this season, and I think Lilith wins again next season.
She does, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, for Norm's tab, Norm had 5 beers this episode, which brings him up to 928 for the show. You guys, Vicky, Mike, this isn't going to make any sense to you right now. It's something I explained in a previous episode, and it'll kind of make more sense. But there are 387 beers left on Norm's payment for painting Rebecca's office. There's just something like he charged her 400 beers, and I've been doing a side deduction of how many beers he gets from the bar that would count towards that. Just on the chance that if we get to the very end of the episode and he hasn't had 400 beers yet, I'm going to count those whatever's left over, because I'm crediting those as beers that he definitely will have. So that's forget about that. That's my own running tally. That'll make no sense. But for the purpose of this, he's had 928 beers to this point. Vicky, who was your employee of the week? Who was the MVP?
I have to give it to Lilith. She's so great in this episode. She is so, Bebe Neuwirth just in general is super talented. Like she can sing, she can dance, she can act. They have to work really hard to not let her be as beautiful as she is. And I just love her. Even in this episode, I was thinking she wears kind of a really dark, a deep green dress when they're going to the opera or whatever they're going to. And I'm like, they really have to try to make her not look pretty.
Yeah.
But she's so great. She's great in every, I mean, honestly, any episode Lil is in, she's almost always my MVP because she's just so good at that role. But yeah, Lilith is my MVP.
For me, and this one, it's Sam.
Okay.
Sam, great lines, great one-liners. The whole side story of the woman not falling for his lines or his charm mm-hmm. was really funny. So, and this episode clearly wasn't Sam-centric. Yeah. He was kind of just there at the bar and interacting with the characters, but his lines were so good.
He does get my favorite line. I'll mention that. And I thought about that. I thought you might pick Frasier, and then I would be torn having to split the difference. Since you didn't, I will pick Frasier. And again, yeah. he and Lilith, it's one and one A. It's almost impossible to pick between, but I think Frasier had a few more of the asides that I really liked, especially like the very last line. But
it was close for me because Frasier was up there. He's always the I kind of feel bad for him in a lot of ways because he seems so tortured. But I think Sam's just some of his brutality in his lines were so good.
Frasier was that to a point. Like, I think now we're getting to the part where he has more dominant roles in certain episodes. Yeah. But like for a little while, like he was almost kind of a utility player where even if he has three lines in the episode, they're dynamite.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of the way you think about Woody. Like even if Woody doesn't really have anything to do, you know, he's great.
Yeah.
Carla, I think, is definitely up to that point. And like by this point in the series, I don't think she always was. Maybe she was a little bit more abrasive than funny at the beginning of the, but at this point, like this episode in particular, but yeah, for my home run, it was Sam's part. It was when Frasier is having this existential crisis. His marriage is over. His child's future is over. He screwed up big time. How can he ever come back from the brink from this? And Sam just, what is Sam's equal and equivalent crisis? I just got shot down by a chick who likes fat guys. He throws the towel down. He's just so mad about that.
Yeah, it's so hilarious. So good.
So funny.
Some of my runners up, Frasier's last line, somehow I'm getting some action out of it. And then the other moment when he's like, why would she be carrying a dead rat in her purse? And Carla's like, just a guess, a snack?
Yeah, I had that one written down too. That was up there for me. That was definitely up there.
Or some of the others. What was your favorite?
I still think my favorite, my home run, is when Frasier comes in late to the preschool and Lilith says, I described you in terms that were positively glowing, which is the way I'd like to see you in hell. I just love it. Oh,
I don't know. For me, it's, and yet somehow, some way, I'm going to get some action out of it.
That is
so good. Like, it, you know, curtain, you know, the end, great, great line. His delivery is perfect. Yeah. It's great.
He's got like a smile, like a self-satisfied smile.
A little smirk.
Yeah, I don't know how, but I navigated this the right way. Somehow it's working out for me.
It's like the sun shines on me.
Frasier, hashtag blessed.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. 100%. That is right. Yeah, it's so good.
Thank you very much for coming on this episode and helping me joining me on this episode. Like I said, it's one of my favorites, and this was one I knew I was going to have fun discussing. Mike, Vicky, where can people find you online? What else? Anything else that you want to mention?
Mike's available for rat facts anytime. just find us.
Science questions.
Find us online. We're available 24/7. All your rat needs. No, we're really boring. We don't have really any presence much online. We want to do a podcast.
Try to hide. I try to hide as best I can.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So nothing.
Well, until next season, hopefully. Thanks for joining me. Thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments, as well as questions about lab rats on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time.
Hey, hey, Paula, I've been waiting for you.
Hey, hey, Paula, I want to marry you too.
True love means planning.
Look at that little one in the corner. He looks just like Whitey.
Who's Whitey?
Oh.
He was my favorite dead rat that this bastard took and threw in the trash.
Don't mind her. She's just over-emotional and crazy as a loon.
I suppose you'd like to take one of these and throw it in the garbage, too. Oh, why don't you just bite the heads off these birds while you're at it, Dr. Death?
But I am not the one who goes walking around with a decomposing corpse of a rat in my purse.
You're a hateful man.
And you are a troubled, disturbed woman. But a wonderful mother.